Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And you can be seated. I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles with me to the book of James. James is in the New Testament. You'll go past Hebrews and all that. You'll bump over into James. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. We'll also have the scriptures on the screens as well. And if you don't have a Bible like at all and you would like one, at the end of the service, you can simply come down to the front, find someone, say, I'd like a Bible, and we will give you one. In fact, we'll give you as many as you can handle. I heard a story a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was funny. There was this lady who moved into a new house, and with this, you know, she's getting acquainted with the neighborhood and her neighbors, and she's sitting there on this Saturday morning. You know, the boxes are still not unpacked, but she's just kind of taking in. She makes some coffee. She sits down at a table, and she looks out her window, and she can see into her neighbor's backyard, and they had a clothesline, and she saw her neighbor out there hanging up clothes on the clothesline, and she just got really irritated with her neighbor. Anybody ever been irritated with a neighbor? That's never happened. I love my neighbors. I thank God for my neighbors, but I've heard horror stories. But anyway, she's just getting a little bit irritated with her neighbor, and it was because of the spots that were still on her neighbor's clothes. It's like, why would you wash clothes and they still be dirty and you would hang them up and dry them? Like, aren't you a better mother than that? Like, aren't you a better wife than that? Like, shouldn't you care for yourself more than that? So she called her husband over. She's like, look at this neighbor. Look at her. She's drying dirty clothes, clothes that are still dirty. She didn't even take the time to get the spots out. And every single Saturday, this would happen. She'd wake up, get her coffee, sit down at her table, and she'd see her neighbor out there doing laundry, and it'd still be dirty, and it just made her madder and madder the whole time she looked at it. One morning, she woke up, and she looks at her window, she sees her neighbor doing laundry, and all of a sudden, she's looking at it, she realizes the clothes don't have any spots on them whatsoever. This flabbergasts her, so she calls her husband over. She says, you gotta see this. Finally, this woman figured out how to do some laundry. Finally, this woman figured out how to clean some clothes. And the husband spoke to his wife. He said, no, honey. This morning I got up and I washed our window. I washed our window. What we're going to do today is we're going to wash our windows. We're going to talk about why we should not criticize or gossip about other people. And I know some of you are not going to like this message, so just feel free to gossip and criticize me later. So with this, we know that this is a struggle each and every one of us have. This is a series entitled The Struggle is Real. We're going to be talking about many things. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about dealing with depression. We're going to talk about walking in health. Like, we're going to talk about all these types of things that we all struggle with. I've all struggled with these things. And when I thought about a struggle that I know I wrestle with and I know most people wrestle with, it is this struggle of criticizing and judging other people. See, in fact, the Bible tells us it's probably the number one struggle each and every one of us face. It backs it up with many scriptures, but probably the most famous one is in James chapter 3. This is the brother of Jesus, and that is how I know Jesus is the Son of God, because when you can convince your own brother you're the Son of God, you know you must be right. And with this, James chapter 3 and verse 6, it says this. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even our Father, and therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. He says, my brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place both sweet water and bitter? And his point is, no, is that the bitter will corrupt the sweet. Like, you can say all these sweet things, but if you throw in bitter right into it, it's just going to mess the whole sweet thing up. But if you have this beautiful glass of sweet tea, I thank God for the South, like sweet tea, you have this beautiful glass of sweet tea, and you drop one drop of poison in that glass, it messed up the whole glass.
And everything else is right about the tea. There's far more good than bad, but that one drop of poison just messed up the whole glass. He said, this is what we do with our mouth. Now, we know this, that words hurt, right? If you've ever been talked about and you found out about it, it hurts you. Some of you, you know very keenly that words hurt. You were hurt by words that your mother said. You were hurt by words that your father said. Some of you, you've been married, and with that, you've been hurt by words that your partner has said unto you. You've been in relationships where maybe friends hurt you with their words. The Bible talks about that our tongue has poison in it, that our tongue can actually poison someone, that the way I talk to my kids could actually poison them, that the way I talk to my spouse could actually poison them, that our tongue can set things on fire. It can burn up opportunities. It can burn up relationships. It can burn up businesses. It can burn up a nation. And when people don't know how to use their tongue and their mouth, it just sets on fire things. And with this, it says one of the chief ways it works and it operates, and something that people, all of us, need to be very interested in controlling, it said that even Christians come in and we bless God. Like, we come in, it's like, God, you're amazing. God, you are awesome. God, there is no one like you. And then get over in the car and like, can you believe she wore that on stage? Like, who in the world, who in their right mind would wear that on stage? Can you believe the people? People took my seat. They took my seat in church. Like, I can't. But he said, we do this constantly, that we come and we bless God, but then we come and we curse man. He said, we come and we point out all the things we love about God, but then we come to our neighbors and we come to our friends and we come to our politicians and we come to our celebrities and we come to our television people and we criticize all the things we don't like about them. And God says, the reason why this bothers me is, how can you say you love me who you've never seen, but hate the people I've made who are made in my image and my likeness? He's like, these things, they cannot work. But he said, look, people go and they tame like animals. They come and like they train their dogs to go potty outside, like they tame and put under their dominion. All of these types of things. But he said, there's one thing that it seems like no one is interested in taming, and it's the thing that causes far more harm. And he said, it's about an inch or two under your nose, depending on your facial configuration, and that is your mouth. He said, your mouth is getting you in more trouble than anything else. And the struggle, friend, it is real for absolutely everybody, including me, in this room. Why do we gossip? Like, why do we criticize? Why do we look at people and judge them? Why do we look at pastors and judge them? Why do we look at people we sit next to and judge them? Why do we feel so open and at so much liberty, like judge a church or speak harshly about a business or a person or things like that? Why is it so easy for us to do it? I think the Bible clues us in on all things, but especially this thing. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. This is in the Message Bible. It says, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? And my answer is, sometimes I do. Like, that's exactly what I want. It's like cheap candy. In fact, oftentimes, the cheaper the dessert is, the better the dessert is. Like, you can keep all your fancy desserts. I want the cheap stuff. I want the nasty good kind of things. And when I think about cheap candy, my favorite is peanut M&Ms. Anybody else like peanut M&Ms, right? Right? If I would have thought of this earlier, you all would have left with a bag of peanut M&Ms, unless you had a peanut allergy, in which case we would have given you plain, because we think these things true. But with this, it's my favorite cheap candy. It's like peanut M&Ms. And there are sometimes, like, I cannot wait to taste a piece of cheap candy. But how many of you know, if you like peanut M&Ms, and you wouldn't understand this if you don't like it, but you can't just eat one, right? Like, you eat one, and what do you want? You want more. And even after you eat the whole bag, it's like they knew we would want more, so they made a king-size bag. And even if you had to eat the king-size bag, it's like now you got an Easter bag, and you got a Christmas bag, and you got a Valentine's bag, because they know we like cheap candy. And here's the thing, in all of our lives, when it comes to gossip, when it comes to criticism, there's something about it that tastes good. There's something about it that makes us laugh sometimes. There's something about it that almost brings us to life when we see a flaw in another person, that it could be some of the most interesting conversations we have all day when we're discussing the things that people don't like or we don't like about people, places, or things. Like, there's something about it that just tastes good. But the Bible says, I get it, it tastes good, it's like cheap candy, but it's also doing something to your own soul, that if that's all you had was that cheap candy, it would get to the place where it is toxic for you. It would get to the place where it changes your physical body. And what a lot of cheap candy would do to your body, a lot of cheap gossip, a lot of criticism, it does that to your soul. See, everybody in this room has a spirit that's on you. And some people may say an attitude. Some people may say energy. Whatever your buzzword is, it doesn't matter to me. But all of us have something like that on us. And there's some people in here this morning, like, you got a heavy spirit. And there's some with a sad spirit. And there's some with a joyful spirit. And there's some with a happy, loving, peaceful spirit. And all those types of things. But friend, the thing that determines our spirit is the thing that we choose to feed on. And with this, the same thing what cheap candy does to our body, there are things that come through our eye gates, there are things that come through our ear gates, there are things that come into our souls that make us toxic, that can make us heavy, that can make us filled with strife and envyings and all these other things. We have to watch what we feed on. But when I started making a list out of all the reasons why I gossip, because I do this too, I criticize people, and I'm working on it, I'm trying to wait, and I ask myself, wait, you know, I made a little acronym. Why am I talking? Like, why am I talking right now? Just slow down. Be slow to speak. But I made a list, and this is my list. You may have a different list, or you may find yourself on this list. Number one, to be liked and get a laugh. To be liked and get a laugh. Have you ever talked about someone to do it, to be liked or get a laugh? This, like last night, I preached this message last night. Came home after service, put our kids to bed, me and my wife, and we're sitting there kind of decompressing. We turn on the television, it's the end of an episode of Fixer Upper. Like in Chip and Joanne Gaines, you know, that type of thing. And so, you know, they come into these houses that people want, they fix it up. And, you know, they put shiplap everywhere and, like, all these types of things. So with this, I'm watching this show for my wife. Another message. But with this, I'm watching this show. And at the end, you know, they do these big reveals. And, like, you're supposed to be big excited because it's, like, a big reveal. And, like, they have the big reveal and the couple's looking at it. But they don't seem overly impressed. Like most of the people are, like, crying or, like, very emotional. Like, oh, my gosh, you know, so amazing. These people were like, oh, it's nice. And we were me and my wife were having the same thoughts at the same time. Like, do they like it? Do they not like it? You know, are they just not excited about it? And so we're talking about their lack of emotions in this moment, which should be a very emotional moment. So I get up to get some water, and my wife looks at me when I'm coming back, and she says, act like I gave you $1 million. And I knew what she was talking about. We're about to make fun of these people. And so with this, I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, I'm sure I can find something to do with it. You know, thank you. You know, it's nice. It's not thank you. She says, act like Chip and Joanne Gaines just remodeled your house. It's like, well, you know, it's just good. You know, it's not prison. You know, I could live here if someone, you know, made me live here. And we're laughing, and my wife looks at me. She says, we're doing it, aren't we? I'm like, yes, we are. You led me into sin. I'm like, God, she made me. She made me do it. She made me act like these people. And so with this, like, we were having fun at their expense. Now hear what I'm saying. Like, I don't want people to get over into extremes and things like this, but what I am saying is that I think in all of our hearts, like, we know the difference between when we're being vindictive, when we're sowing a seed of discord, when we have a wrong spirit that's on us when it's coming to criticizing or judging other people. And so often in our culture, we have a tendency to say things about other people to get a laugh or to be liked. In fact, much of the clickbait that's on our phones, or most of the advertisement that's on a magazine, what is it doing? It's exposing the sins, faults, failures, cellulite, or any of these other types of things about other people, knowing that it actually leads people to buying the magazine or visiting the site. Why? It's like cheap candy. It's like cheap candy. People know, and I tell you, oh, that'll be good. And the reason why is some of these other things. Notice, second reason is for me to get people to feel my pain. Like there are some times when I'm criticizing other people to someone else that I'm doing it because I want my point to be understood. Like I genuinely want people to hear me. They're not listening to me, so maybe they will listen to me and they'll see my point of view, which guess what? They always do, which is why I never do marriage counseling without both parties there, because with that, there's always another side. And so with this, in all of our lives, like there's just sometimes though where I want to talk to someone else and get them to feel my pain because this other person, they're just simply not listening to me. The third reason, I think we've probably all been here before, is to just let off steam. I'm not gossiping. I'm just venting. Like, I'm not gossiping. I'm just, you know, letting off some steam. And I think in each one of our lives, we've been there, right? Where we were hurt by someone else or something came up at work or we were ignored or belittled or talked about and it hurt and it wounded us. And for some of us, when we get emotional, we get angry. Others of us, when we get emotional, we get sad and we all deal with different sets of emotion. But sometimes that emotion just gets so pent up on the inside of us that we feel the need to just let it out. To let off steam. And I think each and every one of us have been there. And number four, the other reason is to feel better about myself. Like I thought my kids were bad and then I saw your kids and it's like, oh, we're good. We're good. And so pointing out like your kids' faults and failures makes me feel a lot better about my kids. Pointing out what's wrong with your marriage makes me feel better about mine. Pointing out what's wrong with this person's body may make me feel better about mine. All those types of things. We do it to feel better about ourselves. So there's all kind of reasons why we do it, but I want to approach this message from a biblical perspective as to why we need to stay away from it as much as possible. Here's the four reasons on why to stay away from it. Number one, it hurts the people we talk about. It hurts the people we talk about. Now, like I said to start this message, every single person in this room at some point in your life, you've been hurt by words, right? In fact, you know, we say this phrase even as kids, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I've had words said about me that when I heard it, I would have rathered you to hit me with a stick. Like I would have rathered that because words hurt. Life and death, the Bible teaches us, is in the power of the tongue. And with this, in all of our lives, like we have been hurt by words, but sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, we have said things that hurt someone else. Like you never intended it to get back to them, but it did. And you never intended them to hear what you said about them, but it did. Our gossip, our critiquing has the power to hurt the people we are gossiping about. Now, here's a good rule to live by. In all of our lives, everything you say should be true. Like we need to be truthful. The Bible talks about like as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, you know, hopefully by the end of this message, we've talked you into becoming one. But if you're not a Christian, you know, maybe you don't follow this. But if you are a Christian, the Bible then teaches us that, you know, to follow this standard, that our words should be our bond. Our yes should be our yes. Our no should be our no. And with this, as Christians, like we know not to lie. Like I shouldn't lie and I shouldn't exaggerate. Exaggeration is just lying's pretty sister. They're both related, both sin. It's just a little bit, you know, not a lie. It's just bigger than what it really is, which is the equivalent to a lie. So with this, like we know, like we should speak truth. But here's the thing. Everything we say should be true, but everything that is true doesn't need to be said. Well, it's true she does need to lose 20 pounds. Well, it's true, you know, they shouldn't take that type of vacation. Well, it's true she is really hard to get along with. Like, it's true, but everything that is true does not need to be said. And the reason why is words can hurt. Words hurt people. The second reason, I didn't feel like I had to build out that point too much, because if you don't understand words can hurt people, we may have bigger issues than this message. Number two, it hurts the people I say it to. Now, here's one thing that I have to realize whenever I'm gossiping, whenever I'm criticizing someone, the person I am saying it to, it hurts them. It hurts them. There's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says God hates some things. There are some things that God absolutely hates. He cannot stand them. Now, you need to know this about God. God has never hated a person, ever. But there are some things that he hates. Like, how many of you know for us, we shouldn't hate people, but there should be some things that we hate, like racism and abuse and all of these other types of things. Those are things that we should hate. And I think if we made a list of things that we should hate, I bet many of you could come up with some of the same things on the list that I would put. But it says, one of the things that God hates, and often this goes unnoticed, is someone who is sowing the discord among the brethren. He says, I can't stand it when people sow discord among the brethren. Now, here's what this means, is I was perfectly fine with you until I heard what they said about you. And now because of what they have said about you, they have colored you in a light that now that's all I see you in. With that, I didn't hear you say anything that offended me. I didn't see you do anything that offended me. I am simply going off what they said about you to me, and now I am further away from you than when I started. See, Jesus, he is all about some reconciliation. Like, he can't stand gaps. He can't stand distance. It's what he died for, is there was this great gap, this great distance between you and God, and no one could cross it. No one was ever good enough. No one could ever live righteous enough. No one could ever measure up to the standard. There was this great gap between you and God. And Jesus comes in, and when he comes into this world, he bridges the gap. And he takes two things that were far apart, and he pulls them back together. And this is what's called reconciliation. And he says, even if you want to run from God, I will run after you and pull you back to God, because that is how much God loves you. I am all about some reconciliation. I'm all about closing the gap. So can you imagine how he feels when we create him? Can you imagine how, like, he died to close gaps, and it's like, I am going to separate you from you with my words simply because I don't like you, and I don't want them liking you either. So I'm going to separate you from them, sow discord in your heart so that there is a gap in your life. This creates something the Bible calls as strife. Strife. Now, strife's a big word. Let's look at it here in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. This is true if you've ever made a fire. Just stop putting wood on it. Fire goes out. So there is no tellbearer, the strife ceases. He says, notice what causes strife in our life. We hear someone talk about someone, and it gets strife in our life. There's many things I don't want in my life. Like, many things I don't want in my life. I'd prefer to have as little sickness as possible. I'd prefer to have undiscipline as possible. I'd prefer to have as little pain as possible. But there's one thing I've learned in my life that causes a lot of pain. It is strife. I don't want strife in my home. I don't want my wife coming home with a spirit of strife. My wife doesn't want her husband to come home with a spirit of strife. And you know how we get strife in our life? There's someone in our life that every time they open up their mouth, they are a river of it. They're a river of strife. They're a river of discord. That every time they talk, it's just separating people from things, separating things from people. And with this, that attitude, when they say it to me, it actually begins to poison me. And now I'm at odds with people. Like, now me and myself, I'm carrying that spirit of strife simply because I listen to someone who has that spirit on them. Now, the reason why this is big is in James chapter 3, which we just read, after it talks about the tongue, it says this in verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Notice, before there's evil, there's always strife. Before there's evil, there always is envying. And so in my life, if I want my life to be as good and good as the opposite of evil, it said if I want like an evil-free life, I've got to have a strife-free life. And there's just some people, when they talk, they just bring me into strife. Like, they're constantly putting me at odds with other people. Friend, I want to encourage you, don't drink from waters of strife. Drink from waters of life. Be around people who lift you up. Don't tear other people down. Because here's the thing. If they will tear other people down in front of you, it is only a matter of time before they will tear you down in front of other people. If they will talk to other people about you, it is only a matter of time before they are talking about you to other people. Gossip, criticism, judgment has the power to hurt the person I'm saying it to. Thirdly, the third reason why we want to stay away from this is it hurts us. Gossip, criticism, judgment, it hurts us. Like we get, like if I criticized you and pointed out all that was wrong in your life, how it would hurt you. But did you know it also has the power to hurt me, even though I'm not the one it was said over, I'm just the one that said it? Now, there's a passage of scripture that's been big in my heart. It's big in my heart for this service. It's big in my heart for this weekend. It's been big in my heart for about a month. And it's right next door to the book of James. So let's just go over and look at it if you brought your Bible. Like I said, if not, that's okay. It'll be on the screens. But let's look at it here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is right next to James. So you can turn over a couple of pages. And we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. 1 Peter 3. Verse number 8. He says, finally, and I love Peter. He's like any good preacher. He says, finally, and goes on for like a whole nother chapter and a half. This man, you can't believe these preachers. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that thereunto you are called, that you should inherit a blessing. What's the blessing? It tells us, verse 10. Do you want to love your life? I'd say I do. Do you want to see good days? Sign me up. Well, here's what I got to do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, they speak no guile. That word guile means whisperings. It's very interesting. It's not a word we use too much today in today's society, whisperings. So it's like things like, between me and you. Like, just between us. Just between us. Let him keep his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him eschew evil or run from it. Let him do good. Let him seek peace. Let him pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I've had people come up to me before and they're like, Pastor Joel, it's just not working. I'm like, what is not working? It's everything. Christianity doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. This giving doesn't work. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. I prayed and nothing happened. And whenever I hear this, like immediately I kick into pastor mode and like a doctor, if you come into a doctor, it's like, I'm sick. I don't know what's wrong. It's like, okay, well, let's run some tests and let's kind of figure out if we can find out what's going on. So as a pastor, it's like, okay, like I want to help you because I want it to work. That's why I do what I do, is I want a working Christianity for me and for you. And every time, the first test I kind of run is this one, because the Bible says there are some prayers that people are praying that he never heard. There are some people who are praying, God never heard their prayer. It says there are some people, though, who his ears are open to their prayers, which means that there are other people his ears are closed to their prayers. There are some people his face is seeing exactly what they need, but then there's other people his face is turned away from that request. Well, what makes the difference? He said, my face is turned away from people who do this evil. Now, evil's a big word, right? When we think of evil, that's some big words. Like, I think we could all be in agreement of what evil is. Like, we could look at certain things and say, that is just evil. And we could get a general consensus as to what evil may be. But there's other things where it's like, sometimes we consider it to be like a necessary evil, right? It's like, it's kind of necessary. Like sometimes lying, people would say, well, it's just necessary sometimes. Like, what am I supposed to say when she asks me? Does this make me look fat? Right? It's like, well, do I tell the truth there? Sometimes it's just necessary to just lie, right? So we come up with like necessary evils. And in our lives, I think when most people would think, well, God's face is against those who do evil, we would think of people like, you know, racist people or like murderers or like any of these types of things, that that's just evil. And we would be right, like that would be evil. But with this, the evil he's talking about here is something much more subtle. He's talking about when I render railing for railing. So I see somebody do something, and then I, in turn, speak against them. I see someone act a certain way, and then I, in turn, like, act against them. I see someone who is unpeaceful, so I wage war against them. And he says, no, what I'm actually asking you to do is to pray for your enemies. I'm asking you to seek peace, to stop the railings and the strife, to close the gap and not make it deeper. He says, if you do this, I'll give you a blessing. You can't get any other way. Here's the blessing. You'll love your life. How many people out there do you know who are loving their life? He says, you'll love your life, and if you'll see good days if you close the gap with your words instead of spreading it even further. In the Old Testament, there's a story about this guy by the name of Noah. If you're not Christian, then you probably have heard of Noah and the ark and the flood and all those types of things. But Noah is actually famous for something else other than building the ark. You know what it is? Noah got drunk, like drunk. So drunk, Noah got naked. Like, I don't even know how it happened. Like, and thank God the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know how it happened. But we know that the end of the story is Noah got so drunk, he wound up naked. And with this, he missed it, and we've all missed it, but with this, he misses it. And his son walks in, and he sees his father's nakedness. Like, he sees his father's sin. You know what he does? He comes out and has guile in his mouth, and he just comes to his brother. He's like, you'll never believe what Dad did. He got so drunk, he got naked. Look, you got to come see this. You got to come see it. Like, oh, my word, did you hear what happened last night? Like, I knew it was crazy. I knew it was crazy, but I didn't know it was that crazy. You got to come see this. And you know what his brothers did? They looked at each other and they got a cloak. It's amazing. Such the heart of God. They got a cloak. They grabbed it between them, one on this side and one on the other, and they walked backwards until their feet kind of bumped up against their father's. They covered up their father. And when I hear that story, I got to think, what am I? Like, when I see a fault in you, when I see a fault on someone on TV, when I see a fault in a friend, when I see a fault in a husband or a wife, when I see a fault in another couple, when I see a fault with another child who's not my own, when I see a fault, am I an exposer or am I a coverer? Because when Noah woke up, God spoke to Noah's heart, and he said, those boys who covered, there's a blessing that's going to come on them that'll follow them the rest of their days. And friend, I want that blessing on you. I want you to love your life. I want you to see good days. I want you to have a blessing that follows you every day of your life. And the way we tap into that blessing is that I watch my lips that they speak no evil, and I watch my tongue that it doesn't speak any guile, because criticism, judgment, gossip, it hurts me. The last thing, and this seals the deal for me, number four, last one, is it hurts the Father. See, God is not just God, he is the Father. In Ephesians, it tells us something very interesting about God. In fact, many people might not know this about him, but it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, why? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This word grieve means to make heavy with sadness. You ever been heavy with sadness before? You ever seen something in society that made you heavy with sadness? I tell you, I've been on a news fast. Like, I can't watch the news. Because it's like every time I'd watch the news, something would make me heavy with sadness. It's like, how can this still be going on in our world? Just heavy with sadness. You know why you get that? You're made in his image and his likeness. And he gets heavy with sadness. You know what makes him heavy with sadness? When we hurt one another with our words. When I hurt you with my words, it makes him heavy with sadness. You know why? You're his child, and so am I. My enemy, his child. That politician, his child. That client, his child. That coworker, his child. Made in his image, made in his likeness. Heard this story about this kid. He saw this farmer had puppies for sale. This kid gets so excited because he really wanted a puppy. So he comes up to this farmer. He's like, I want to buy your puppies. How much are they? He said, well, how much money do you have? And he reaches in his pocket and he grabs some change. And he puts it in the farmer's hand, and the farmer's counting it out. He said, you got 39 cents. And the boy looks at him and says, is that enough? He said, it's just enough. He says, you get to buy a puppy. He said, which one do you want? So he opens up this crate and all these puppies run out. And there's four puppies who are just bouncing and licking this kid, all these types of things. But there's this fifth puppy who comes walking out who had a limp. He can't move very well and he's walking out. He's got this limp. And when the boy sees that puppy, he says, I want that one. And the farmer looks at the boy and says, no, you don't want that one. His leg, they don't work right. You know, he's got issues. And the boy lifted up his pants leg. He said, see, I have issues too. Like, my leg doesn't work right either. And this puppy, he's going to need someone who understands him. And when I look at humanity, I look on the news and I look at celebrities, I look at you, I look at me, I look at my kids, I look at my relatives. You know what I see? I see issues all the time. And as a pastor, I see people's biggest issues. You know what I found? No one is their worst sin. No one is their addiction. No one is their biggest mistake. When you dive into the depths of humanity, you see so much pain that led up to that mistake. You see so much pain that led up to that sin. You see so much pain that led up to that abuse. And friend, in our own world, what we seem to be lacking is a mutual understanding that when we see other people with limps, instead of us criticizing their limp, it should clue us in that we have one too. That what they need is some understanding, some mercy, some grace. See, humanity is when you're touched by other people and how they're hurting. That's what makes us human. Dogs and animals can run right past someone who's hurting, but sometimes even they have sympathy and they can feel people hurting. But you're human when you can feel the needs of other people. That's what makes us human, when we can feel it. When I can't feel it, something is deeply wrong in my soul. When I can make fun of it, something is deeply wrong in my soul. Humanity is touched by the weaknesses of someone else. Why? Because we see their toothpick, but we're also aware we got a beam, man. But you know what Christ-likeness is? It's having a heart of compassion that even reaches out, not to a human, but also to someone who's an enemy and someone who's been wronged. Because relationships never thrive when the guilty are punished. They only thrive when the innocent are merciful. And friend, I want to encourage you and me especially, I want to be a merciful man. I want to be a kind, compassionate, gentle soul. I want to see people. I want to see humanity. I want my heart to break for what is breaking the heart of God. I want to be a gap closer. I don't want to make the gaps further. When people come to me about an issue in their marriage or an issue in their friends' lives or an issue with authority or whatever it is, I don't want to be the person that has the gap start here. And by the end of my conversation with them, the gap is here. I want to be like Christ, and I want to have a spirit of reconciliation, which is the ministry every single one of us are called to. And I want that gap when they start talking to be here, but by the end of that gap, I want it to be here. I want to point them towards peace. I want to point them towards reconciliation. I want to point them towards closing the gaps that Satan has worked so diligently to create in their life. And friend, I want you to do the same thing. And not just for everybody else out there, but I want you to love your life and I want you to see good days. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. What a joy to preach to them. They've listened so well. Help us all, Father, be waters of life, not waters of strife. Right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around, and maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, I've missed it. I made a mistake. I faltered, I failed. I would simply say to you, join the club. Every person in here has faltered. Every person in here has failed. You know who always got dealt with harshly in Scripture? It was never the sinner. It was always the Pharisees who acted like they didn't have any sin. woman cast down in the middle of adultery, Jesus forgave her, washed her. Sinner comes to an altar on his knees, beating his chest, saying, Father, forgive me, a sinner. He went away justified. See, it takes humility to walk with God. Religion will make you prideful. Knowledge puffs us up, but love edifies. And if you're here today and you say, I need Jesus, I need mercy, I need forgiveness. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make anyone look at you, but I do want you to make it a decision before God. And if that's you, just lift up a hand right now all over this place. Just say, that's me, Pastor. I need mercy. Hands going up all over the place. It's amazing. Anybody else? Oh, he loves you. Now, everybody in here, just pray this with me. You can repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that I believe he died for me. And on the third day, I believe he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My past, it's over. It's in the past. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.